serving God in a secular world tonight because I really felt led to share with you probably the area I've seen God working the most in my life recently, and that's at work, which not everybody can actually say that. I think if we think about our jobs, that's not normally the first thing that comes to mind when we think, well, where is God the most at work? But for me, it's really been a blessing. What I want to tell you about is I have a Bible study group where I work at Giant Eagle, and we meet every other week. And it has really provided an opportunity in the midst of a busy week to stop for an hour at lunch and focus on worshiping the Lord in a completely secular environment. I mean, Giant Eagle's mission is not to spread the word about Christ. It's to sell tomatoes and things like that. But what it has also done has surrounded me with a support system at work in a non-Christian environment. I have a group of 20-some fellow Christians who were bonded together. And when we're there worshiping God and praying together, I've actually felt God's Spirit move in a conference room in my office, which is a fantastic thing. And I just want to share this tonight, not to brag about it or say, hey, look what we're doing, but I want to give you some ideas to some things maybe you could possibly do wherever it is you spend most of your day. I think we can all relate to when we come here on a Sunday sometimes and we just feel so inspired and we feel God moving and we feel His presence and we think, man, I just am so fired up to do great things for God. And then we hit Monday morning at work or at school and the air is immediately deflated by something that happens. In addition, we're also constantly under attack by the culture today telling us what we can or can't say about the Lord at work. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we can do and what we can't. So as I go through this, I want you to think about where you spend most of your time in the week, whether it's working in an office like I do, whether it's, and maybe you're at school, maybe you volunteer somewhere in an organization most of the week, or maybe your responsibility is to take care of family all through the week. Wherever it is, God has put you in that specific spot to minister. You know, when we hear missionaries come here, I'm always inspired. I love to hear missionaries talk, and I think what a wonderful go out and to these foreign lands and to really minister for God. But it always strikes me back also that, you know what? God put us in where we are in our life in a specific spot now because He wants us there and has a mission for us. I think I've shared before, like, I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old. So I knew from a very young age, you know, God had a plan for me and was going to use me somehow. And for a long time, I considered becoming a minister. But through a lot of prayer, and as I grew into my teen years, and as I was getting ready to go to college, after a lot of prayer, I realized, you know, God was telling me, no, I don't think that's what I want you to do. And I, you know, you have some doubt, like, oh my gosh, why would He say it? I don't want you to go out and be a minister. Oh, what's wrong with you? But I really felt God telling me the answer was no. So I went to college. And I studied computer programming, became a computer programmer, and I was very fortunate. Immediately after I did that in college, God confirmed to me, yeah, that being a minister was not what I was called to do. So I was very fortunate He kind of answered that right when I got to college. So I went to college and became a computer programmer, and I've worked at West Penn Power, and for the last 10 years, I've worked at Giant Eagle. So I want to tell you a little bit about what Giant Eagle's like and what I do, and then how our group interacts with each other. So, what does Jeff Ewing do at Giant Eagle? So when I'm not eldering here at church, most of the week I am a senior manager of applications for marketing and merchandising systems. So, it's a very impressive long title, I know. I get paid by the letter, of course. But essentially what that means is I have a staff of software developers and support personnel, and what my job is to make sure some of our critical systems are functioning, and when people call for help or there's problems, they get addressed by someone knowledgeable who can do a fix. So we have jobs like running all night. I can get called in the middle of the night. I've been up all night sometimes. We have a problem in our data center. During the day, we have users call for different questions. So like some of the systems they would call about is, one of the systems I'm in charge of is our system that prices all of our products that we sell on the shelves. Also, I'm in charge of the one that we use to purchase all of the products. And we have thousands of products on the shelf. But there's, you would think it's a very simple process of we buy it from someone for such amount, so we'll sell it for this amount. You could not be more wrong as to how complicated this is to get it from the supplier to the warehouse to our stores. I'm also in charge of some of the systems we use to pay for the products. the systems, if you go there and use your Advantage card that tracks your fuel perks, we have the system that they use that what they know about you. So, I mean, there's a lot of interaction with people, and it can be very stressful. I'll get different problems. One problem I had a couple weeks ago, kind of funny now, but if you go down to the store, I think it's this week, you'll see tags that have like a Steeler logo on it for some products. Well, last week, somebody realized as they were flying off the printer in our print shop that we had printed tags with the Steeler logo, which was good, but the promotion was set up wrong, and we were sending those tags to Cleveland and Columbus and Maryland also. So now the Steeler fan in me says, well, they're going to hang them and they're going to like it. But that's not good for sales, obviously. So that was a big, big problem we had to jump on very quickly and coordinate. So depending on the issue, it can be very stressful. But it's also like any other thing in life. I'm sure if any of you thought of a problem you're having at work or at school or something, in your perspective, it can be really big and large. And having this strong group of Christian friends at work has made all of the difference for that, because, again, for that 1 hour every 2 weeks, we get to sit together, pray for each other's needs, and invite God to be in our presence to help us deal with working at Giant Eagle. So I want to tell you a little bit about Giant Eagle. Let's talk about like what the mission environment is like at my office. What are the people like? So real quick, just the background on Giant Eagle. Founded in 1931 in its current incarnation. So it's an old company. It's privately held, but it's incorporated. It's number 30 on Forbes list for America's largest private companies, for whatever that's worth. We have about 400 stores, and we operate in 5 different states. There's about 34,000 employees in the company as a whole. Now, where I work at the corporate office, and we have a cluster of buildings in RIDC Park, which is just outside of Harmerville, for those of you who know where that is. There's probably 2,000, maybe 2,300 people in the immediate area that I work that I would potentially have contact with every day. And again, it's a big company that did $9.5 billion in sales. Now we're not huge compared to Walmart. Walmart probably did about $450 billion or so in sales. So, again, it depends on size. We're a big company, but we're not gigantic and enormous. But with 34,000 employees and then like 2,500 where I work, you get all different types of people to work with. Imagine our church here. We have all different types of people in Worth. Just take that on such a huger scale. We have conservative people, liberal people. We have Christians. We have non-Christians. We have foreign nationals. I work closely with people who live an hour and a half away from me. We are centrally located, but we're spread out, so we cover a wide geographic area. Some of the specific things as far as like the company's culture, and as you think about what you do, every place you go has its own vibe. I'm sure your own office has its own vibe, but as far as Giant Eagle Corporate, what it's like, well, there are some good things that people do there. One thing's called the Team Member Care Fund. And a good way to think of this would be, think of our Helping Hand Fund we have here at church for people who have an immediate emergency need. The Team Member Care Fund is the same thing at Giant Eagle. It is a fund that employees like myself contribute to, and there's a board, which I was privileged to sit on. People apply to that if they have like a fire, their house catches on fire. If they have a death in the family. It's targeted mostly at people in the retail locations. That makes up most of our employees, but a lot of them are generally on the lower income scale. So you'll see cases of like domestic violence. There's problems with that. So this person needs help, or the children aren't going to get to eat, things like that. So they can petition to, it's like a one-time thing, except with our, it's about, it has probably 25 times the financial resources we do with a helping hand. So it's a good thing, which is great, but it's also not Christ-driven, which is Christians, we know you can do a lot of good things, but unless you really get to the heart of the matter of Jesus Christ, it's all for naught in the end. There are things, though, that if you look at society and the culture today, Giant Eagle is very much a secular company, and they're right in front of your face with that. So, for instance, like multicultural resource group, it I guess you can't read that. It's celebrating the distinct cultures and backgrounds that make up our team members and communities. So now that's not bad in and of itself. The problem you have to watch with multiculturalism, though, is the main theory behind it is that no one group is absolutely correct. And if you combine everything that everybody knows, including sometimes your religious beliefs, that it'll be all the best for the end and that'll work. Kind of like the many roads lead to heaven, to God. And we know as Christians that's not true. That kind of theory may help you sell groceries, but that's really not a good way to live your life. That's not going to get you eternal salvation. So as Christians, we kind of have to guard against that. And when you're constantly working in that type of environment, you've got to be aware and not let that seep into your worldview and affect your beliefs. The other thing up there is giant eagle proud. This is something that is really, if we think about the culture and society, what we're being taught today is really popular. And its purpose is to support and embrace all team members, regardless of sexual orientation, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered individuals. So basically, this is their, you know, you've heard of the LGBT thing. This is a group specifically for them to come together and advance that the gay agenda. Now, Giant Eagle isn't the only company that has this. Like PNC has a group like this at their corporate office. If you see any of the coverage of when Pittsburgh has their gay pride parade, you'll see different corporations marching with banners, and you may have seen Giant Eagle's group marching there too. So I know kids are getting this in school and in other areas, this whole push that it's homosexuality is okay. As Christians, we know that that's a sin. Now, one bad habit we have as Christians is, I said before, we tend to rank sins and we think some are more deplorable than others. You know, in God's eye, a sin is a sin. But in our human state, let's face it, we all know if we had to make a list of sins we consider worse, everybody here would be able to rattle off five in a row very quickly. I'll tell you this, one advantage of having that group, though, is it immediately identifies to me, okay, well, here's a person really in need of hearing God's love and to be touched by God's heart. I'll also tell you that I work with many gay people. I've said that, you know, Giant Eagle is a big company and it comes a lot of people with a lot of world views in that. I work with a number of homosexuals. I'm friends with them. They're good workers. God has put them in my life for the reason so that I can potentially be a conduit to salvation with Him that I can message. And that's what I tell our group as we go and we have to respond to these things, because it's tough. Being in an environment, let's face it, it's where that is constantly thrown at you and pounded at you. It's not constantly there, but it is very much something that's aware in our company's culture. As I said before, Giant Eagle's purpose is not to advance the kingdom of Christ, it's to sell groceries. These are types of programs now in the culture that go along that they do to a means to that end. As we think more about the mission field, and when you're thinking of witnessing, you know, you have to think about, well, who are you actually targeting to? I would say the majority of the population of Giant Eagle and the folks I work with, you know, fit really well with what Christ mentioned in Matthew. He said, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." When you think about it, we're all rich. I know the people I work with, most of them have a decent, really good paying job. There aren't too many up there in my office park that I think don't have the financial resources to go to a good house or an apartment. They aren't going hungry every day. So, for instance, I'm not doing a ministry where it's like people who are absolutely stricken with poverty and destitute. So we kind of have to take that into consideration. I think we all know, you know, when you have the resources some of these folks do, and even we fall into this trap, we start to think, well, I can kind of do this on my own. I really don't need God. And that's kind of the trap here, when the wealthy, and you can be rich and have all the material things, and you kind of get that pride comes in, and you kind of think, well, I don't really need the Lord. That's one of the targets that we have to be wary of, and we have to convince people at work, you know, there are people, some of them are very successful in business. There are some very smart people working there who are very successful in a worldly sense. The challenge is to be able to get them to open their heart to realize they need Christ just as much as the person who's relying on God to provide them literally their next meal. We kind of mentioned in the service today, Vicki mentioned at 9/11, how after 9/11, one thing, everybody came rushing to church for that. You know, we tend to see that when there's a real big problem. In our day-to-day life, we don't see that, so people become comfortable. So in short, really, it's people there, they're good people. They want to help their fellow employees, and they're kind of generally people like us, but they need the gospel. They're also rich people. In a sense, their basic needs are provided for. They have the resources. In a way, they're people just like me or us. Okay? And I thought that was a key point, too, because I mentioned to you I considered becoming a minister, and you know, it's like, oh my gosh, why wouldn't I want to do that? Well, God's role is He put me in a specific spot for a specific reason. Same that He's done for you. As you think about it, you're at a point in your life right now and you are spending time every day with people. Don't think that that's by accident and that God doesn't have something you can accomplish for Him in that very situation. So let's talk a little bit about the specifics of the study. It was initially founded 9 years or so ago. I've been at Giant Eagle 10 years, and after a first year or so working there, there was another gentleman who had been working there a long time, and a group of us just happened to be together, and we knew we were all believers. He had a lot of contacts in the company and knew there were others, and said, let's get together and have a Bible study. It went for about a year or so, and then it kind of burned out for a couple reasons I'll share with you later. But what that did to me is it kind of really inspired me. I had always thought, kind of as I was working, well, how can I minister at work? What can we done? And I thought this was a fantastic idea. So it went, and after a year or so, I really felt God leading my heart to restart this Bible study, but to tweak a few things, which I'll tell you about, to kind of make it a more success. I really felt Him strongly leading me that way. So we did. I got some of the old group together, and about 7 years ago, we started meeting every 2 weeks. And right now, we probably average about 12. I didn't exactly count it out. I would say there's probably 25 or so active people. And when I say active, I mean really frequent attenders. As you know, we hold it during lunch at work, and things come up. There are cases, if I have a meeting, I will have to miss. Same with those other people. I do have a job still to do, so I'll get someone else to cover. So I wouldn't say it's rare that exactly the same 12 are there, and sometimes we have 20. Sometimes we have 8, but generally that is the mix that we have. For about 4 or 5 years, we only had like 4 or 5 average, I would say, maybe 6. And one of the really biggest prayers I've ever had answered in my life is, you know, it was never about numbers when we only had 4 or 5. You know, we were happy to be together and it was wonderful. But we started knowing there are other believers out here. How do we reach them? Are we doing really something wrong? So we firmly made a commitment to pray to God to send us individuals who needed ministered to, or show us what You want us to do. And this is, I tell you, this is one prayer I've seen answered in my life definitively. Literally within like 6 weeks or a month, we had 12 new members come. We over doubled our size. And then for months after that, we had new people coming every single session. The word of mouth had spread, and I think God inspired a few people's hearts. And we have been going strong for the last year and a half, 2 years, with about 12 active members. The members also come from all walks and ranks within the company. I've had vice presidents attend, and we have mail clerks attend. You know, it doesn't matter what area you are in the company. When you come into the room with us, we're all believers in Jesus Christ together, serving Him. Just like there's many parts to the body here in church, many parts in our Bible study, but yet we all have that common bond of being a believer in Christ Jesus. The main attitude we try to convey for the Bible study is really summed up in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, because this is really the most effective way I think we have to reach the people that I work with. Basically it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, outsiders being non-believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer to everyone. You know, we even had a conversation about this in John's Sunday school this morning. it's very easy, and I mentioned, you know, when we see certain sins, to be able to tell someone, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. That is not a very effective way to get someone to listen to you or to even like you. In order for you to have influence on their lives, they have to respect what you're going to say. Tact is the most important thing we need to do as believers. And when you see the Christian church getting bad press in the news and so forth, it's normally because someone wasn't very tactful and really didn't approach a problem and say things in the best way that they should. We should always be steadfast and never make excuses for sin or allow our position to change just to waffle. You know, we got to be strong in what we believe is right and wrong, but we've got to be very careful in how we say it and how we present it to others. We've got to build a relationship up with them so that they really respect what we say, and also we've got to act so that they see something is really different about us. You know, attitude goes a long, long way. I mentioned my job can be very stressful because all I do all day really is deal with problems. You know, my team and I, we don't, every day it's not, am I going to have a problem? It's how many problems am I going to have? So the temptation is there to really be, you can really be short with people. It can get very, very stressful. But to have an attitude, a positive attitude. The other thing is, you know, being in that corporate secular environment, you've got to be on the lookout for how you behave when it's not like a problem. You know, the crowd you run with can oftentimes really dictate your behavior. You know, in some meetings, there are people that have some pretty rough language, believe it or not, in an environment that can really let loose with swearing. I got to be on the lookout to not let an ounce of that slip into my language at work. And believe me, people notice that. They are constantly, and you know this in your life, as a believer, you are constantly being watched to see how you behave. What you do says a lot more about who you are than what you say. And that's one thing we constantly emphasize to folks is people have to see Christ shine in us. They have to know by our behavior that something is different. That is what's going to prompt them to confide in us and to be open to having an invitation to come. The part about let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer to everyone. You also have to be prepared to take that step and say, hey, if a coworker comes to you having a problem, hey, I know this is a problem. We have a Bible study group. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? You would be amazed at how many people appreciate that. We have people who don't even regularly attend the Bible study will ask us to come and pray for them. That has been one of the biggest ministries we have there at Giant Eagle is our prayer group from this Bible study. If there's a critical need during the day, I have an email distribution list of people who will be prayer intercessories that I will send out and we will pray for them. That has been one of the biggest things. And seasoned with salt, I think that's a great way to say it. Again, I mentioned we have to be tactful. What that means is what we say has to kind of be tasty so they want to come back wanting more. So think of it kind of like a potato chip is salty. You don't eat just one potato chip. You eat one and then you eat some more. And eventually you eat the whole bag, let's face it. But you always come back for more. That is the way we have to be when we speak with others. Again, and let's face it, it's tricky. When we see sin or something we don't like, our first reaction is, ugh. You've got to watch that and be careful. And so that's kind of the way our guidance for that is. We've got to be model employees, and people have to see something different about us, Christ shining within us. I mentioned the emphasis is on prayer. That has been probably the single thing I think that's different in this incarnation of our Bible study than the last one. We open with a time of prayer, and quite honestly, I could probably go the whole session with prayer there. We start around noon, and I would say our prayer time, by the time I take the requests, we end prayer probably around 25 after 12, 12:30. I think for the last 2 years, I've been keeping all the prayer requests in a Word document. I have over 38 pages of prayer requests that people have given us. So I can go back in, and I can even go in back and see certain times when those prayers have been answered. And it is, you know, when you're really going through a trial, to know that a group of people is praying for you is just such a blessing to know. That, you know, intercessory prayer is a gift, and it's something we can all do. There are people in the work environment open up. If you'd look in that Word document, you would see so many cases of cancer and illness for people we've prayed for. You'd see cases of marital problems. You'd even see some of our church issues from people here that I've raised, that I know people who need prayer, that I've asked, hey, I have friends at church, please pray for this situation. That has been probably one of the single biggest things that has bonded our group together. You know, when you think about Paul, he always went out with a partner on his mission trips. God sent two of them at least. That's kind of how I view it at work there. Because we have this strong group, we have a network of people to go out and to minister. And prayer just has done wonders for pulling the group together. It is amazing how the people have confided in each other. And the common things we share is the desire to witness for Christ, but knowing you also need a buddy out there sometimes to really help you and push you through. Talk about acting so others see Christ in us. And really, one thing we always pray for, and I lead the prayer, is responding to God's call and witnessing and planting the seeds. You know, it can be very discouraging sometimes when you're trying to witness to someone and you see no progress at all. Like, crying out loud, what am I doing wrong? You don't realize how often you're planting seeds. But the key thing also I say is, you know, I emphasize to everyone there, we all agree, it is our mission field. There are numerous opportunities for those 12 to 20 people during the week to go out and have interactions. You figure those 20 people interact with at least another 20 people. And so just the opportunities to be able to share Christ or to provide Christian fellowship or ministry are just immense. So we always have that emphasis. Being a good worker too, you know, we're also commanded in the Bible to be good workers. It says in Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing. And the passage in Colossians, verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So we're both commanded by God to be hard workers. But when you think about it, in that environment, we're all a team. The thing that keeps us together there is we're working for Giant Eagle. If Giant Eagle does well, we'll keep our jobs and things will move on. In order for you to be respected and people want to see what's different, you know, if you're not a good worker and you're kind of slacking off, again, no one's really going to care about your opinion and they're going to think, oh my gosh, I don't want to be around that guy. That's just not good. So we always try to emphasize something like that. The session format is also really important. And this was probably in the first incarnation where it failed for us. I only have a lunch hour to run this whole thing every 2 weeks. And in the first incarnation, we were very much geared towards lessons. But what we would have different people go and teach the lesson and be responsible for creating it. That became really difficult because a lot of people didn't have time. And it can be difficult. You know, it takes a lot of time to prepare something to take up a whole hour. One thing we also saw was, though, there was varying levels of how good the lesson was. Some people are good teachers, some aren't. But also, sometimes it would be too theologically deep for the audience. And that's probably one of the biggest things I would say that has changed. Rather than create a real deep theological lesson, we do short DVD-based lessons that are always Christ-centered. So the things we'll do a series by Matt Chandler. We're working on one now. We've done Andy Stanley. We have done Rob Bell's Pneuma series, you know, before Rob Bell kind of got a little goofy. So I have to always preface that now. But they're always Christ-centered. They're short enough that they get a message out. And then we also have a brief time for discussion and sharing. So we've even done courses on how to read the Bible effectively and study. You know, it is so important that, you know, for that short hour, we don't know who's going to walk in the door. The main message we have to constantly be focused on is Jesus Christ and saving faith through Him. You'll never see me go there. It's not a theology class, so you'll never see me do a lesson there where we talk about why we think we should do baptism by immersion rather than sprinkling babies. I mean, when you think about it, that is a theologically deep topic. You're going to lose a lot of people, and it's really not appropriate for a quick, short discussion like that. It also is not going to really draw anybody into faith in Jesus Christ, that type of thing. So lesson selection is absolutely the key. The other thing is being very consistent in, hey, we always have at this time in this place. You know, people always know where to go. They don't need to know that, hey, this month we're having it in this meeting room, this month we're having it in this meeting room. We have a consistent place, so it's almost like you don't really have to think. I send a reminder email out every Wednesday morning when we have the meeting, and that's really all it takes. So you may be sitting there saying to yourself, you know, well, yeah, Jeff, that's all well and good, but you know, we're not allowed to mention God where I work or do things. So I wanted to just go through a few things on that topic as to what really are we allowed to do. You know, contrary to what society and the culture say, we can witness at work. Some of the essential questions we need to answer, though, in case you get challenged, is when does sharing your faith constitute harassment? Are there restrictions on religious expression for supervisors and so forth? And does it matter if you're witnessing to your company's customers or to your coworkers? Okay. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be an attorney, and I'll honestly tell you, I didn't look any of this stuff up before I started the Bible study. I thought when I was preparing this message, oh, I came across it, and I thought, well, that sounds interesting. I guess I should look to see if I've been doing something wrong. But, you know, I wouldn't advise you to go and get involved in extensive legal action ever, but you should know that the culture and society today is telling you a lie if they're saying you're not allowed to mention Jesus Christ or to witness. And I apologize for how busy that is, but again, it's legal stuff, and I couldn't figure out how to really succinctly mark it down. But essentially, the Civil Rights Act provides rules for all private workplaces employing 15 or more people. And it basically says that a company allows employees to engage in non-work-related conversations, such as those about politics, family, sports, or other topics, may not prohibit voluntary religious discussions between employees either. Voluntary religious discussions. So if the guy sitting next to me and I are having a private conversation about church or Christianity, someone walking by just can't say, there's no way you're allowed to say that, I'm reporting you to HR. You know, that is still within our right to do that. Water cooler and lunchroom are a type of public forum where citizens share ideas and interact at a variety of levels. Informal settings such as break rooms or hallways, and at times when workers are voluntarily interact about non-work issues, employees may discuss their religious views or voluntarily pray together. Okay. Same rules would apply to other private conversation. Other employees may not stop religious exchanges simply because they overhear a religious conversation. So the key here is it's voluntary. So, for instance, I mentioned our Bible study is always in one place. It's in a conference room, and it has a door similar to like some of the doors we have here where you can kind of, maybe it's a little bigger, there's actually a little bigger pane of glass, but people can see in when they go in the hallway. They'll see a group of us there with our heads bowed praying. And I have a projector, and I project the video on the screen. So depending when they walk by, they'll see whatever is on the screen. Oftentimes it's the speaker holding open a Bible or a Bible verse displayed across the screen as it plays. So we're not hiding what we're doing, but we are also in a private area. I'm not sectioning off a section of the cafeteria where it's open, taking up space and preaching aloud during the lunch room area. Okay? And when you think about it in a way, I think that's most effective witnessing anyway, one-to-one, directly to someone. There's a time for like broad preaching in that, but again, that's not appropriate for the office time. Okay. There are limitations, though. Okay, so some things you do need to be aware of. Employee must not allow religious discussions to interfere with work. Stated differently, an employer has the right to insist on the employee's full attention during working hours, which is fair, and when you think about it, goes to what we would want to do biblically. You know, God calls us to work as if we are working for Him. Okay? And it is Giant Eagle. Again, Giant Eagle is not paying me to come there and to evangelize. Now, I can do that during the free moments in that, but I'm there to work, and they do have that expectation that I will be working. I've mentioned there are certain cases where I'll have a lunch meeting where I won't be able to attend. Now I'll get someone else to fill in for me. And that's why I say, you know, we average about 12 and it's 20, but it's a mix. It's very clear, you know, we're representatives of Christ there at Giant Eagle. We need to work hard and we need to do those things. So it is, you know, we do follow this. You must, you know, you've got to do your job first. If a co-worker indicates directly or indirectly that they do not wish to discuss matters of religion, the Christian employee should immediately stop discussing it with them. If the Christian employee doesn't, he can be disciplined for harassment and that. So when you think about it, though, that is legitimate. And think of it in terms of the shoe being on the other foot. If there was a Satanist that happened to work next to me, I would not want to sit there all day and listen to his theories on the occult and those things. And if I told him to stop, I'd want him to stop. That's kind of the same thing. And that can seem harsh, but you got to remember, it is your job to initially talk about Christ. It's up to God to prompt their heart and that person to accept that, to keep moving. Now, you can still keep sowing seeds, but as we know, as many of us have tried, you cannot nag or harass anyone into the kingdom of God. You know, as much as we would like to do that, and we think that would be really great because there's a lot of people I'd like to go, that's not the way it works. God has to prompt our heart. Some things you should be aware of, though, and I put this out here. This doesn't really affect me, but I thought it might affect some people who do work. When you interact directly with customers, there's nothing prevent a Christian from, you know, discussing faith during free time on a job, public or private. But in your daily job, if you deal directly with customers, there are restrictions. The company can restrict you from doing that. So if you are a cashier or someone, it's not like you would be able to, on your own, hand out Bible tracts with everything a person purchases. But there are companies, you know, we think of like Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby, or companies that aren't afraid, who have Christian ownership, who aren't afraid to stand up like that. It's also well within their rights. You know, and that's, you know, we live in a country that is free, and that is part of the, that's part of the deal. So, you know, definitely keep that in mind if you do decide, hey, I would like to do more at work, and that is your type of environment, that is, there are legitimate ones there. As far as finding, again, I wanted to mention, you know, I don't tell you all these things about how great it is and what wonderful things we're doing just to brag or anything. I really want you to consider how in your daily life you're doing with witnessing. Are you really using every opportunity you have to further God's kingdom? Some of the ways you can think about it, though, is if you think like, well, I wonder what I could do, just a couple suggestions as I close here. Look above you. What does God want? That's probably the most important thing. It's very important to be in prayer and listening for God to tell you exactly, or to tell you what He wants you to do, where your possible ministry is. Be in prayer. Ask a close Christian confidant, hey, what do you think about this? Would you pray for me? I'm really trying to figure out if this is what God wants me to do. Have an ear out, and God will lead you with what He wants you to accomplish. Look within you, like, how has God gifted you? So, for instance, in my case, I knew I'm pretty good at organizing and administration, and when I really believe in something and decide I'm going to do it, I'm very stubborn, which actually works out for me in this situation. So, I just sit in meetings all day, so I know how to run a meeting. So I'm very good at consistent that, hey, I got the room for us, I get the projector, I get the message out, I tell people this is our lesson for today, what we'll be discussing. I can pray. I don't have a problem praying out loud in front of a group of people. Those are my gifts. Some of the things I'm not as strong at is really actually one-to-one witnessing or really diving to the Christian message. I am not really a great go up to a person and just immediately talk about Christ. I've also not someone that people generally come to for sympathy a lot, a little bit, but not. I'm more the type of person, if there's a problem to be solved, then people come to me. You know, and that fits my personality. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I solve problems. And I know generally when I'm confronted with any problem, I get very frustrated if I can't fix it. So if it's a problem where people don't really want something fixed, I struggle with that. Now, that doesn't mean I shouldn't do it and I'm not trying to work and develop that a little bit better. But I know in my heart it's not one of my strengths. But the beauty of it is, because I use those talents I have for organizing, there are other people in that group who that is their exact talent, is they are very good at comforting others. They are very, they can sympathetic and can, they have, you know, they're different types of people. They can really make a connection with other people in our work environment that I would never be able to make a connection with. So God uses every one of our talents. So you may not think you have a particular talent. Like, believe me, the running a meeting is not a That's not an envious talent that people all say, oh boy, I wish I could really run a meeting. That'd be fantastic. But God can use the little things you can do for His service. The other thing, look around you. What needs are there? You know, if you take just a good hard look around here, think about what are the needs of the people that I work with every day or I am around every day. You know, chances are it's pretty obvious. In my case, as I've said, it was a lot of good people, but they just had not heard the message of Christ. The other thing, too, is, you know, in people can put up a brave front, but let's face it, everybody has junk in their lives. Very often someone will, and we see it in church here, people will come and they'll put on a brave face, and then you find out sometime later they really had a struggle in their personal life or something. It's the same thing at work. There are people you interact with hurting that you just may not know about. But by being open, being there, and being willing to take a step out, God will use you to minister to them. So be on the lookout for those needs. Look behind you again. What experience do you have? Do you have a hurt that makes you able to relate? Has God changed your life? You know, and that's one. Everybody in this room, God has touched your life at some point and done something for you that you can share with someone else to inspire them or teach them that God is real. We all have a testimony. Sometimes we don't have great faith in our testimony. Like, we don't think ours is that fantastic. Like mine, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, had a lot of strong Christian leaders with me growing up, grew up in the church. I didn't have angels come down to heaven and rescue me from a burning car and, you know, didn't have a dramatic movie type testimony. But my testimony is one of, it actually can be done. You actually can be raised in a Christian home and go on to be a strong Christian. As I listen to other people's testimonies and that, I find out my testimony is actually the exception a lot of times to some people. Some people have a much harder path to salvation. So God can use any testimony and any experience you have. The other thing, look ahead of you. Like, what vision fires you up? What would you love to do more than anything else? If you really pray about it and think about it, and you really have that desire in your heart, God will reveal to you just what his plans are. He'll give you that sense of purpose. And it's really intent. A lot of times you know it, but you think, well, that's impossible. Well, maybe it's not really impossible. You know, I couldn't start and run this Bible study by myself. There's a lot of folks that assist and help, and are, let's face it, they are open and are willing to put themselves out there as a Christian. It's not easy to do to stand up in the crowd and be different. If you think back when you were in school, it's not really cool to be different. It's hard. If you're the new kid, or even if you're a Christian among friends, it's hard. But God calls us to do that, and He won't abandon you in those situations. It's the same thing in work life. When you're surrounded by a lot of people who aren't believers, it can be tough to kind of stand out. There are certain things you can't participate in sometimes because you are a believer, even though they're accepted. You know, I am not a big attender of people who go to happy hours after work. That is not my thing, and it's known at work that that's not Jeff's thing. You know, that is not something Jeff does, and I'm not shy about telling people. I don't mind going occasionally just to talk, but we're not going to do that every week. That is not, and it's also actually, it's a great opportunity when somebody invites me to do that. I can kind of talk about, well, why I really don't go to happy hours a lot. It's really, you know, so that kind of throws them off every now and then. But anyway, God can use that type of vision, and that would be, as I close, that would be my prayer for you. I hope wherever you serve, wherever you go during your daily week, you're constantly looking for opportunities to be able to witness for Christ. And look in places where you wouldn't normally think it. It is great to serve at church, and we all need to be involved in a healthy Christ-centered church and working. But God has really called us to spread His word to the unsaved masses out there. And in your jobs or where you volunteer or wherever you spend your time week, that is your mission field right now. So let's bow our heads and close real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You for everyone in this room tonight. And Lord, I would just pray that You guide each person and reveal to them how You want them to serve, what the plan is You have for their life. And Lord, I pray for this group that they would be bold and faithful when prompted by you to share your word. I pray that you'll put in each person's heart a passion to serve and to spread your message throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we close tonight, we will close. We're going to sing a couple songs, but we're also going to have an offering. So if Terry and Bill will come down, we'll take up our offering for tonight.